No, good morning.
Good morning.
Ah, lovely, lovely. Well, welcome to our Easter Sunday morning worship. Last night, we had a great time here, but I think the captain would probably want to say more about that than me. But I'd just like to thank all those people who helped to put the church back into place so that we could worship like this morning. So thank you for your hard work in doing that. Tea and coffee will be available for you following our worship this morning. There will be an open air on the triangle if you'd like to go and support. Then that's at just 12:05 there on the triangle. No sallywags tomorrow, but Wednesday, friends together at 1:30. And then the dementia group Memory Lane will be meeting here on Friday. Following the open air on Friday, people were invited to come back to the hall for soup and coffee and tea and cakes. And a goodly number came, and Carolyn was raising money for donations to go to Turkey and Syria after the terrible things that happened over there. We raised £250 with the soup, and then with an anonymous donation to match this amount, we're now able to send £500 to Syria and Turkey. So thank you very much to that person and to everyone else. That's it from me. Now it's from him.
Was that a Two Ronnie's line or something, is it? Yeah. Okay, yeah, brilliant. I'm going to start by correcting the Corps Sergeant Major. He very politely and gently says, "Why don't you come and support the open air after the meeting?" I say, let's change how we look at this, right? It's no longer the band going out there. It's us going out there and continuing our worship on the street. How about we start that as a basis for things going forward? It's us going out there and worshipping on the street and saying that it matters to us. So here's the challenge. Meeting will finish. Rush to the community hall, down your cup of tea, put your mug down, put your coat on, you're not going to get wet today, and let's meet down there at the triangle and show people that we're not, because it's a bit confusing, isn't it, when it's only people playing, kind of wearing uniforms and playing cornets, and people think, well, that's all the army do. And it would be nice to show the world that there's normal people among us as well. Oh, John's taken that personal. Right. That was my rant for today. How's that? Okay? Let's get to the essence of things. 6 a.m. Some of us were at the pier this morning celebrating the resurrection. Some of us have had practice at this, so we're going to do a little bit of revision first, okay? He is risen. Thank you, Paul. Paul's with us. So we've had a little bit of practice. I need to be convinced that you're convinced. Shall we try that again? He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Do you know what? I'm quite happy with that. I am pleasantly surprised. Now I want you to astonish me with your enthusiasm. He is risen. Wow, goodness me, hallelujah indeed. We have reason to celebrate this morning, don't we? We have reason to celebrate, and it's good to be together to do so. And I invite you to do that in singing, and it's a favourite, isn't it? It's a good Easter morning one, because it kind of shows the contrast, I think, of Friday and Sunday in the music. And I've already heard that the band is full of resurrection spirit. And I hope that you are too, as we join and sing together. Stand, of course, if you are able.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, indeed. Please take your seats. And we continue in a spirit of praise and adoration. And we are about to sing, He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And I wonder how that applies to you this morning. We celebrate, of course. We remember that Christ died and on the third day He resurrected. But what does that mean to you? This is your time, I think, to make your own kind of personal response in these moments. Let us join together in some praise and worship and adoration. He is Lord. Let's close our eyes, shall we? Let's bow our heads. And I invite you in your minds to imagine two things. The empty cross and the empty grave. And let us pray together. God of the bright and morning star, God of the rising sun, God of darkness banished, we praise and worship you. For empty tombs, thank you. For disciples running with good news, thank you. For your presence, alive, powerful, and resurrected, thank you. We celebrate your victory over death, over all the powers that would defeat us. Help us to grasp the resurrection, to understand its power, to see its force at work in our world, overturning evil empires, changing the hatred within us, moving the world slowly, forcefully, bending us towards love and truth. On this day of great gladness, empower us to be your ambassadors, proclaiming good news. Good news in our kitchens and living rooms. Good news in the offices and workshops. Good news in the fields and factories. Help us to be that good news, walking softly on this good earth, caring gently for all people, living hopefully into your kingdom. But we also pray for those who do not share our Easter joy. We pray for those who live in the shadow of darkness and despair, for those who live with the hopelessness of shattered dreams, trust betrayed, opportunities lost, love denied, for those who live without faith or hope or love, who see no resurrection, no hope of new beginnings for themselves or for the world. If Christ is truly risen, let us live out his resurrection so that all who meet us shall know that he is risen indeed. Amen. Oh, I'm excited now. I've been looking forward to this. We enjoyed our children singing in Advent leading up to Christmas. Well, they have prepared a song for us today. And it's called Jesus is Alive. Oh, I see that the props are being prepared, but they're getting ready and they're going to come and join me up here on the stage. Oh, there's some shaky things, some ribbons.
Oh,
And now it's the ministry from the band. I serve a risen Saviour. Quote the words of a song without the song book in front of me. But what was that? He lives. He lives. You ask me know how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. That was the bit I was looking for. And thanks everyone. Thanks everyone for your help. Yeah, we had a great night last night. We had a great night last night. We came together. We had a cup of tea, which is always nice. We shared around the Bible. We heard some thought-provoking readings from the Bible and from other Christian writers. And we praised and we worshipped through song. And it was a lovely time. And I know it's late, but if you weren't there, you missed out. Because we were blessed, and we were challenged, and we were refreshed, and we were prepared to celebrate Easter this morning. So the next time that we do this, because there will be a next time, before next Easter, hopefully, come and join with us as we try to kind of look at things very differently. A lot of hard work was put into preparing, so we thank you guys for all of that. But all is not lost, because we're going to give you a taste of what we did last night, an arrangement we used last night of Oh Happy Day. No, not that one. Happy Day. But please stand and worship in whatever way you find fit this morning, but please not too boring a way. Should do that more often, I think. What's it next? It's the songsters. the songsters who are going to bring us the throne of heaven. And we look forward to their ministry as we do every week. Thank you. Collaboration between the songsters and the worship team, but it reminds us of some important aspects of the resurrection as well. So thank you very much. Our Bible reading this morning is going to be through the medium of videos from the Lumo project, which are kind of putting Bible readings into film form in all sorts of different languages. But today's reading, of course, comes with a warning because it is gruesome. But I think it's important that we confront the reality of what Jesus went through. So that's why we watch this video, but I nonetheless warn you ahead of time that we're about to graphically see what happened to Jesus.
was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 PM, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away wondering to himself what had happened.
So over the last 10 weeks, with some interruptions, we have been studying Luke's passion narrative. We started with Jesus' arrest and thought about how we should handle guilt. We saw that the religious leaders ignored theirs. Judas tried to make amends but failed. We, like Peter, ought to repent and be freed of that burden. Jesus' trial allowed us an opportunity to reflect on the fact that he was a different kind of king. He is humble in appearance, but he is the Son of God, and he has authority over all things. After the trial, Pilate was ready to release Jesus, but the crowd demanded a prisoner swap. So Barabbas gets released, and Jesus takes his place. This gave us the chance to reflect on the importance of not being swayed by the crowd. On Palm Sunday, we deviated from tradition and focused on the fact that even nailed to a cross, Jesus forgave those who had wronged him. And this act of forgiveness gives us the strength to forgive those who have offended us. On Good Friday, we looked at a staggering conversation between Jesus and one man crucified beside him. This man confessed his wrongdoing and admitted his need of a savior. Because of this, Jesus declared that that criminal would be in paradise that very day with him. Because this is the most important aspect of heaven, the presence of Jesus Christ. So we spread this story over a number of weeks. So it's easy to forget that all these events that I have just outlined happened over the space of a week. And what a week it was. And it's not quite over. So today we will look at three more events from Holy Week. And we will see that this week changed the course of history. For you, for me, and for the entire human race. I was trying to avoid saying that to not sound like Michael Jackson. But I did. As Jesus is just about to die, something really strange happens. Darkness came over the whole land, for the sun stopped shining, we read in Luke 23, verse 44. And what makes this really strange, of course, is that the darkness fell at noon, the time at which the sun is at its peak and the daylight is at its brightest. But instead of broad daylight, everything is darkness. When the prophets Joel and Amos envisaged the day of the Lord, a day when all would be judged and punished by God, they pictured it as a day of darkness. For these two prophets, darkness stands as a sign of God's coming judgment. But when the darkness in this story, and during Holy Week at Easter, this first Easter, when the darkness eventually lifts, Jesus, the innocent Jesus, is the only person to have died. Everyone else is spared. And I've repeated this several times over the course of this series, but by being crucified unjustly, Jesus bears the punishment that is properly yours and mine. So the darkness is a sensory reminder of this. The second strange and unexpected thing that happens is this. The curtain of the temple was torn in two. After Adam and Eve were banished from the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3 verses 23 and 24 tells us that God placed cherubim, angels, if you will, with flashing swords to stand between Eden and them, these first humans, to prevent them from entering into Eden again. Up until then, of course, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had known God. They had enjoyed his presence. They had lived under his rule. But their disobedience led God to shut them out From then onwards, an impregnable barrier stood between God and humankind, and humanity was left to live in a flawed and frustrating world. If we fast forward a bit further to Exodus chapter 26, we learn that God ordained that a curtain be placed around the most holy place, the area at the center of the tabernacle where the ark where the ark of the testimony was, the box where God was present among his people. And if we fast forward yet again to a time when Israel had settled in Canaan, the promised land, and to when Jerusalem had become the capital, and when the portable tent tabernacle used during the Exodus becomes a permanent building, the curtain remained, and on it were embroidered cherubim. The message was clear. God is present behind these curtains, but you, ye sinners lost of Adam's race, to quote the song, can't come in. And it's this curtain that is torn in two as Jesus dies. It being torn in two, just as Jesus dies, is a visual sign that God's presence was once again at large and available to fallen humankind. The separation between God and his people was gone. Jesus' sacrifice means that now. God's presence isn't limited to the temple. Anyone can enter into God's presence through faith in Jesus Christ and can enjoy living in right relationship with him. The third and final strange thing to happen is that the tomb in which Jesus was buried is found empty. When the women arrive to administer spices to Jesus' body, they are met by two heavenly representatives. They explain that Jesus is not here. And they make it clear, though, however, that he is resurrected. They say he is risen. In many ways, if we dedicate enough attention to all the details of this Holy Week, resurrection becomes the only valid explanation. But nonetheless, the women are shocked both by Jesus' disappearance and the appearance of these angels, I suspect. But these two heavenly figures explain to the women that they should have expected this to happen. After all, Jesus had foretold these events. In effect, they quote what Jesus had already told them in what we know is Luke chapter 9, verse 22, when Jesus told them that he would be killed, but that he would be raised to life on the third day. It's almost as if these angels are asking the women to put two and two together. You know what Jesus said would happen. Now, look, it's happened. It's an important lesson, I think, for us in trusting Jesus. He will do what he says he will do. But above all, it's the proof that death is defeated. Luke tells the story of a hectic few days. These were, of course, busy days, confusing days, but they changed the course of history. These days can well and truly be considered the hinge of history, because through the cross and resurrection, God the Father worked through God the Son to defeat evil and deliver his people from their wrongdoing, from their sin, so that they could enjoy life, life in all its fullness, now and into eternity, under the loving rule of Jesus Christ. Jesus' sacrifice is the ultimate demonstration of God's love for us. In the crucifixion, we see God playing his part in restoring his relationship with humankind. But what is more, he has given us the means to respond. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we can be made righteous. Jesus has taken away our sin and shame, and we can stand confidently before God. All we need to do is ask and repent and ask for forgiveness. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we can receive the Holy Spirit to empower us to live boldly according to the values of the kingdom of God. All we have to do is ask for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we get the assurance of living in right relationship with God now and forevermore. All we have to do is trust that Jesus' death and resurrection makes it all possible. The idea that has stuck with me most as I prepared for this morning is that idea of the torn curtain. That thing that separated God from us and us from God. It's been breached. It's gone. Nothing needs stand between us and God. The cherubim with flashing swords are gone. And we can be privileged to enter into God's presence because of what Jesus has done. So my final challenge this morning is this. Is there anything still standing between you and God? Is there anything stopping you from enjoying the life that God offers you? Is there anything that is robbing you of hope for the future? This week I was meeting with some friends from our congregation and we were having a good old chat. We're having a good old chat and we came to the conclusion. We came to this conclusion, this very obvious one. None of us, I hope, are murderers. None of us, I hope, are terrible, horrendous people. I hope that none of us abuse others. I don't think we do. I think we're all trying our best. But what are the things that are standing between you and God this morning? It can be pride. Oh no, I'm too good for that. I am in no need of a savior. It might be shame. It might be embarrassment. It might be cynicism. I've heard it all before. What is it that's standing between you and God? It's what we call sin, whatever it is. What is it that's stopping you today from enjoying that life, that relationship, and that hope that God offers us and that Jesus makes available through his death on the cross? We're going to sing a chorus right now, and I'm not going to hammer this. I'm going to leave you to take this home with you. But the words we're going to sing say, "If any trace of sin remaineth," that's what we're going to ask God. That's what we're going to ask ourselves. What is it in the right now that's in the way? What is the sin that remaineth in our lives that prevent us from fully enjoying and fully embracing Jesus Christ's death and resurrection and this great life that is offered to us? Let us sing together and let us make our own assessment, our own evaluation of what is standing in our way this morning.
my soul, the trace of sin remaineth. If on my hands and stay may yet be seen, if one dark thought a wearied mind retaineth, oh, wash me, Lord, till every part be clean. For I would live that men may see thyself in me. I would in faith ascend thy holy hill, and with my thoughts in tune with thy divinity, would learn how best to do thy will.
John's going to carry on playing, and I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. And I'm going to invite you to reflect on yourself. What's the sin that's preventing you from fully knowing God this morning? What are the stains in your hands? What are the dark thoughts in your mind? Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for the cross. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that just as he said he would, he rose on the third day. And Lord, and we thank you that through that we get to be in right relationship with you. That we no longer need to be ashamed, because you've taken our shame and our embarrassment away, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can approach you with confidence. We thank you, Lord, that we can enjoy life, life as you intended it to be. That we can know you. That we can live in your presence. That we can enjoy joy, love, peace and hope. Lord, we want to live lives that are worthy of that sacrifice. So we pray this morning for an infilling of your Holy Spirit to challenge us, to shape us, to form us, to embolden us, to empower us, to give us the words that we need, to give us the strength that we need, Lord, to live these lives for your glory. And we're aware, Lord, that these promises are not just for us. We want others, Lord, to know you. Lord, so we pray that you would make us worthy representatives of your love, that our lives would overflow with love and grace, that we would know, that others would know that you're God, that you are love and that there is hope in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you do not abandon us, that you do not forsake us. And we thank you for your presence among us this morning. We pray this prayer in and through the glorious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the ruler of our hearts. Amen. Sorry. I think I've got two mics on. That's the problem, isn't it? Shall we rise and sing In Christ Alone? Our hope is found. It says it all, doesn't it? Let's sing together. I'm torn between singing and playing, but I think I'm going to stand and enjoy the privilege that is mine of looking to God's people. One day we should swap. And let's sing together. And we follow the lead from the band.
Thank you.
creator of the universe, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords says, you are mine, and I am yours. Now go, as those who have met with Christ in the morning of this day. Go now as those whose hearts have burned within them, as the scriptures were explained. Go now as those who have been touched by the resurrection. And may the blessing of God be upon you, upon your body, mind, and spirit as you leave this place. Amen.